It's 6:45. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. Unofficial results in the Las Cruces municipal election show city voters supported four bond questions, each of which will increase property taxes for park improvements, sports fields and related facilities, a new animal shelter, a new fire station, including land for the station, along with new and improved trails for walking, jogging, and biking. In addition, voters also supported five of six changes to the city charter designed to raise the bar for those attempting to recall elected city officials. The Dorneyton County Clerk's Office said that approximately 60,500 ballots were mailed to qualified voters and a little more than 25% successfully cast their ballots. A New Mexico nonprofit health insurance company is suing the federal government for a second time. As Hannah Colton reports, the dispute centers on regulations the company says drives up insurance premiums and threatens smaller insurers.
When the Affordable Care Act passed, Congress tried to even the playing field in the new insurance market. They set up a system of payments so that, in theory, competing plans wouldn't sink or swim based on how many sick or healthy people enrolled. New Mexico Health Connections says that system has failed. CEO Marlene Baca says the nonprofit has lowered its costs by focusing on prevention, like helping patients avoid the emergency room.
And when you compare our ER rates to other health plans, we have much lower rates.
Even so, New Mexico Health Connections was made to pay out millions to bigger companies, which the lawsuit says forced the nonprofit to hike up premiums. Back in February, a federal court ordered the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to fix this incentive structure. This week's lawsuit says the feds ignored that order for months and that when they finally issued new rules in July, they didn't allow time to hear from the public as required by law. For KUNM, I'm Hannah Colton.
Many are concerned about attacks on the free press, but commentator Walt Rubel says how the press responds to those concerns is also important.
Whenever a candidate begins their campaign ad with a declarative statement, "I am not a witch," as Christine O'Donnell was compelled to do during her run for the Senate in 2010, you know they pretty much lost the race. I feel a little bit the same way about the concerted effort by newspapers throughout the country, including the Sun News, last week to push back against the slurs of President Donald Trump. Several of the editorials I read open with the declarative statement, "We are not your enemy." If we have to explain that, I kind of feel like we've already lost the battle. The idea behind the coordinated effort, which was spearheaded by the Boston Globe, was to have hundreds of newspapers throughout the country all speak to the issue in their own voice. For our contribution, I tried to focus more on the big picture of press freedom and less on the assaults of the daily tweets. I don't worry about the president taking active steps to shut down the press. To be clear, I think he would if he could. But as is often the case, the president seems to lash out on Twitter in frustration for not being able to take more direct unilateral action. I do worry about the impact of the president's campaign to label all negative reporting as fake news. In the past, presidents, or their surrogates, would push back against negative reporting by debating the issue, explaining the wisdom of their decisions, and finding flaws in the arguments of their critics. Simply dismissing all criticism as fake stifles debate and prevents collaboration. How will we ever come to consensus on the big, vexing issues of our day if we don't have a set of basic agreements on which to start the discussion? I also worry about the personal attacks against individual reporters. I would not expect those reporters to yield to the intimidation of our nation's leader, but I am concerned about their safety. While more than 300 newspapers participated in last week's effort, a number made the decision not to. It's not that their editors have less reverence for the First Amendment than we do. They reasoned, understandably, that any coordinated effort to criticize the president would be seen by his supporters as evidence of a nationwide media conspiracy. So how should we respond to the daily slurs and slanders? I honestly don't know. It is clear that the president needs enemies like a flame needs oxygen, like a noxious weed needs rain. And so he wakes up every morning, jumps on Twitter, and starts picking fights. If we respond, are we only feeding his need? If we don't respond, are we allowing untrue slurs to go uncontested, thereby giving them credence? It's a dilemma. But ultimately, we will all be judged by our work. It doesn't really matter what insults the president lobs our way or what we decide to say or not to say about them. All that matters is the work. If we give our readers news that is accurate, informative, interesting, relevant, and fair, we'll do just fine. If we fall short of those standards, we'll be held to account by our readers. Nothing the president says or tweets will ever change that. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel with Las Cruces Sun News.
While Rubel's columns appear in the Sunday edition of the Las Cruces Sun News, you can also read him in the local viewpoint section at krwg.org. Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.